Coming up on TMS, P's are hard to say.
PM is changing.
Drake has relationship advice.
Does it involve a cell phone? Balmer says yes to Android.
You used to. Why does this town smell like pee?
Scott smells victory for Max.
I didn't mean to put those two together, but that's kind of funny. Call now and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
The first thing you'll see when you turn on your set-top box is TV.
I don't think I feel well.
From Hell's Heart, I podcast at thee. This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. This is TMS for Thursday, the 3rd. Let's not rush things. The 3rd of December, 2015. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Hibbert.
Hello.
Hibbert. By the way, I'll bet Siri finds Hibbert no problem. But that's not an issue, you know?
Yeah, but why would it?
If I said I was looking for Brian Hibbert and it always tells me it can't find you, but if I do Brian Hibbert, all bets are off.
Right.
That's my point there. Does Google now work on anything other than Chrome? No, it does not. All right, forget it then, because I'm not using Chrome anymore these days. Brian, it's time for another show. It's a Thursday, and we gotta just jump in, man. We got stuff to do.
Yeah.
People to hopefully entertain, and you'll have to let us know how we do, folks at home. Chat rooms, you may notice that you have some cross-pollination this morning. The people in our normal IRC chat are seeing people chat from the Twitch channel and vice versa. Those people over there are seeing people from that channel, and you can both interact and talk, and it's like you're all together in the same place. Might be a moderation nightmare. I don't know.
Right.
We're about to find out.
Exactly.
Jeannie, what's your take, man? Jeannie, send me a little note just saying how you feel about all this. Because it's the one person I just worry about a little bit. Right. You know, you don't want her to. She's been tasked with a lot of management there. You know, self-imposed, but something we appreciate her for. And I want to make sure everything's fine before we go too far. But big thanks to the wizard Todd Whitehead, who continues to blow my mind with his hackery. I don't know how he did it.
Gnome wizard is what he is.
How do you think he did this?
A level 18 gnome wizard.
Oh, too bad they don't have those. They should have that in a game.
Right.
Mages. What are those? Those are stupid. Should be a wizard.
Mage.
So anyways, I got a question for you that's been bugging me since last night, and I've been dying to do a show so I could ask Brian Hibbert this question.
All right, good.
And here's how it goes here on this morning show that we're doing right now. For those new to the program, that's what this is. I didn't think dogs could pronounce words. Okay. I didn't think they were
capable. Seems ominous, like an ominous start.
Well, I didn't think they could. I didn't think they were capable of actual enunciation, like being able to get, in particular, that they could say their P's very well.
P's.
Have you ever heard a dog use, say, a bark or a noise or a yowl or anything that used the word or used the letter P or a P in its pronunciation?
Sort of. I mean, a dog, you know, it's got those big old jowly flaps, right? So when you go rough, you know, it's kind of...
Well, there's a little bit of PH in there, isn't there?
Yeah. The P sound is just basically made by putting the lips together and, you know, releasing some air as you open them.
Well, here's the question we all want to answer.
Do dogs have brains? Because I like seriously wanted to know.
All right.
you played that just as Zach typed it in the chat. It was like subtitles.
Oh, very nice. Oh, also
like
TVZ
little
Gun.
Idiot subtitles.
Yeah, TVZ Gun did
not
the same.
Not you, Zach, but the woman.
Yes. So, yes, the woman. Who is that girl? We don't know. I can't remember. But anyway, here's the deal. My dog, I understand the whole like accidental like rough. And there's a bit of a P there, you know, maybe even just like a, and there's like, you know.
I like that you begin this with, I understand that accidentally my dog can talk, but let's hear the other shoe drop now.
All right, let me turn my phone off. It just rang. So yesterday, I can swear to you, I wish I would have recorded it. If I could reproduce it, I would. But I swear to you, my dog, Rainer, the female dog, said rope.
Okay.
Like the word rope, like tie me up with rope, that word. Rope, she said. And I can't reproduce it. I can't prove it. I was the only one there. But I swear she looked up to me and went, rope.
Maybe she's like Scooby-Doo and she was saying nope, but you know, dogs like like Scooby-Doo, they just can't pronounce those initial consonants.
All right, I hadn't considered that. That's possible. Here's an example of that.
Scooby-Doo, you want a Scooby Snacks?
Yes, I want a Scooby Snacks.
Oh, here you go, Scooby-Doo.
Oh my gosh, that's the weirdest thing. God. Such a weird thing. Anyway, I think my dog said rope, and I'm going to stick by it, and I'm...
So did you give her a rope?
No, I didn't give her...
You gotta reward that behavior.
I did give her a treat, and she seemed thrilled with that idea, and then I said, say it again, let's hear it again, and she never did it again.
Oh, wow.
At one point, she looked at me just kind of and went, like that. You know, like she was tired of me asking. But
yeah.
And the kids don't believe me. Kim doesn't. No one believes me. Like the whole house thinks I'm full of crap. The dog would never say rope, because even if you do get a random pee out of a dog, so to speak, they don't ever say like a full word like that. Like with a like with an actual where you have to purse your lips. You know, they can't purse their jowls.
Right.
So rope, man. Dog said rope. And I'm sticking by my story, and it changes for no one.
Stay with us as the story develops. Today she'll say, roar on.
She's already saying it. All right, we have a programming note here.
Yes.
Some backdoor business. Whoa, hold on.
Not so much that.
Let's say it this way. All right, so I've got a gig that came up, that is coming up, that is going to start, in fact, today. It means a regular, it's weird, it's kind of sandwiched. I have to do two meetings, they're about an hour apart, and it's a long story, but the long and the short of it is that it lands squarely in place of where the normal PM time slot is. Right. So we are going to do something starting today, although today is going to be a time that may not be the future time. Future time! but we're going to change today's PM recording time from 4 p.m. Mountain Time to 12:30 p.m. So it's a little early. Brian's also got a meeting, so I want to make sure we work around that.
Right.
So if you want to catch it live is the main thing for you live people, 12:30 is the time you want to be here.
Yeah, and I think this a lot of people, you know, we have lower numbers on the PM show because people are driving home from work or they're at home already on the East Coast, stuff like that. So, you know, we've had people say, hey, you know, I can catch the morning show cause I'm at work or whatever, but yeah. I can't catch the PM show. So
now we'll catch
lunch. Maybe we'll see if this improves that.
Yeah. Maybe you're heating up a hot pocket in the
employee break room.
Yeah.
Right.
Janice is sitting there thinking about all our
accounting. We're already getting, woo, I can finally watch PM live for once, says Vile.
Oh, good. See, and some of these people in other, countries also, this potentially is a better time for them as well. So
So
we're going to do that today. Now, today at 12:30 is the first time we'll do it at a different time. We're thinking 1 p.m. will be the normal. We'll let you know. I mean, 12:30 may work, and that just is what we stick to. I don't know. But we'll let you know. But today, 12:30 p.m., Garrett can be here. That's the nice thing. He's got a lunch break at that exact time, so it totally works for him.
What about Dan, Tabletop Man?
I haven't heard back yet from Dan, but he's super swamped this weekend with a bunch of hockey stuff for his kids, so... Hopefully, I'll nail him down and see what's what.
It'd be awesome if he could do it from the pharmacy, you know, the wherever he works as a pharmacy tech.
Yeah, I'd be like, so this other board game. Oh, hold on, you guys. Ma'am, I'm sorry, but the Vicodin isn't free. You have to pay for that.
So you've already gotten your one refill on this, ma'am. Sorry, you can't have another refill.
Sir, this doctor's signature is faked. You're going to have to go to the back of the line. anyway, we'll let you guys know. But today, 12:30, be here. And that also means one other thing. Because my thing in the afternoon is sort of sandwiched, I now get to do... It's going to be possible for me to do 4 o'clock Scott, although it'll have to probably be a little bit earlier. But I might be able to still stick a stream in the middle of that.
Mm.
So the idea is that, A, you still get your PM on Thursdays. You just get it early. And you might get more content. And I might die from doing too many things. That might happen. So let's see how that goes.
That might be the problem right there.
Brian, I am dying to talk to you about the latest Zack Snyder trailer. It's not really his, but for his film Batman v Superman. That's Batman, Veronica Belmont, and Superman all together at last.
I was wondering, okay, that's... I didn't recognize that other person that shows up.
And
now I know... I was just waiting for the line. God, I'm not cutting in line.
I know.
Jeez.
I know. I have some clips from the film. Do you want to hear some
yeah,
of them?
Let's hear it.
All right. Well, here's one.
How about a booby?
All right. That's great scene. It's a fantastic scene. Then she followed that immediately up with saying,
tough titties.
Okay, great.
Yeah, that's directly from the comics.
Yeah. And then this. Yeah. All right. And then this. And then this.
Ooh, hipsters.
Yeah, that's straight. Yeah, that's fan service right there.
And then these.
Robot arms.
All right, anyway. So, there's the line one.
I'm not cutting in line, bitch. Damn.
That's the one. I think she says that to Superman, right?
Yeah.
Like at the very end.
He's Clark Kent in that scene, and yeah, she really wants in. So, anyways, we saw this thing. We saw this new trailer, and it's extended a bit. It's very different than the last one.
Yeah, you got a lot of new stuff, and you do still get the expected animosity between Batman and Superman. You know, the fight scenes that you're expecting, but there's a bunch of other stuff that I think works, and some of it that doesn't work.
I'm
not liking Jesse Eisenberg's.
You don't like the Lex Luthor take here, where he's a little bit of a spaz.
I'm not, and I don't want to. And you know, it's too early. It's too early to say a thing. And, you know, we had the same thing when Heath Ledger had the Joker, right? And we saw those photos, and we're like, oh no, this is not the Joker. This is not my Joker.
Right, right. And then he shocked us all by becoming the Joker.
Right, but it's I don't know. It feels a little Riddlery. It feels a little Jokery. Lex Luthor to me is cold, calculating, intelligent.
Sometimes quiet, a little more standoffish. Like he's not this like, hey, how you doing, buddy? All right, look, come on, man, slapping people on the back and joking and laughing and being just kind of maniacally insane. They've gone kind of Joker with him a little bit.
They kind of have.
And
yeah,
I'm not sure that's the right move. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Eisenberg, as we know, the one who knocks, we know that Jesse Eisenberg can do cool, calm, collected, and calculating because we've seen him in other films
And that may be the thing, right, is that he, you know, he could very, very easily and accurately play a Lex Luthor as a Mark Zuckerberg, businessman, smart, you know, witty, sarcastic, I don't have time for you kind of crap.
Yeah.
And it would be a good way to take it. And maybe he's saying, well, I don't want to do that kind of performance again. Let me take this in a full, in a different direction.
And Zack Snyder said, all right, I don't care. Whatever, man. I'm Superman, whatever.
exactly how he sounded.
Yeah.
Right?
Now I'll say the thing. So that's one that you and I share the same worry.
Okay.
I assume that's Apocalypse in there and they take it from like Zod DNA or something. So they're reworking the world a little bit. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing about the stuff I liked. Okay. I think Affleck might be a good Batman. I think he's kind of a badass and he's got he's got good Bruce Wayne going on. He's got good interaction with Clark Kent. Their little argument at the beginning, not argument, but their little standoff before they know who each other is pretty intense. Mm-hmm. And I think all this talk behind the scenes, people are like, ooh, you know what? People are really surprised by Affleck as Batman. They're like super stoked about it. And they've added more scenes with him in it because he is becoming a huge part of this movie.
Right.
I'm starting to see it. Like,
yeah, I think I've been on board. I can't remember a time when I didn't think that Ben Affleck was a good choice for this. I feel like, especially seeing the more recent couple trailers that have him being more involved. That one that, the first one that really had him involved showing, what happened with the attack from the Kryptonians and and Zod and everything.
Yeah. The sky wrestling that happened. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah. So, I mean, I like Cavill. I like Affleck.
Mm-hmm.
I like Gadot.
Gadot. Gal Gadot.
Right. I'm just not.
I don't know why.
Yeah,
I said
and
that.
I liked Eisenberg as a choice before I saw this. And again, I'm gonna try and reserve judgment until I see the film because that's really where the rubber beats the road.
And I think a lot. You're not alone. Most of the internet's freaking out about Eisenberg's
thing.
But the other thing I think that bothered me a tiny bit is the very end. Well, okay, maybe this gives some people some closure on it, because all the other previous trailers just make it seem like Batman and Superman are just going to go at it all the time.
Right, right.
And by the end of this thing, Wonder Woman shows up, Gal Gadot, and jumps in with them and kind of looks like they're working together against CGI.
I do like
Rock
the
Man.
Line, you know, I thought she was with you.
Yeah. Yeah, that was all right. And I'm cool with that. And I'm also cool with some of the, you know, if that's really Apocalypse, fine.
Doomsday.
Or I meant Doomsday. Is that what I meant? Or is it Apocalypse? No, Doomsday.
It's Doomsday. And that's
I always get those two guys mixed up.
I know.
I can't help it.
Apocalypse is Marvel.
Yeah.
He's the blue guy with all the tubes.
Yeah. But aren't they basically like...
No, Darkseid.
Darkseid!
Yeah.
That's the guy!
But he's not even really Doomsday-esque, because he's... Darkseid and Thanos are like the...
Yeah, they're analogs.
Right.
For sure. And they do this all the time.
Yeah.
Is there a... who's the little dude in the little... space helmet, and he's a tiny little body but a giant
Mr.
head.
Mr. Mixelpick?
No. The other. What's the other one? The little.
Batmite?
No. He's in the Marvel side. He's the.
Oh.
Little robot head, body, giant head.
Oh, MODOK.
MODOK.
Is
there a MODOK equivalent on the DC side?
I have no idea. Oh. I'm more the Marvel guy, so.
Ninja Steve Galactus. Yes, the giant. Yeah. The opposite of Galactus in every way, that guy.
Yeah, so that, and you kind of bring up the other thing that that they probably could have not shown Doomsday, because now, and I'm not going to do a spoiler for people who haven't read the comics, but people who have read the comics know that Doomsday is tied to another event.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you want to tell the Doomsday story without telling the whole story, and then that's kind of a spoiler for people who've read the comics.
I kind of agree. That makes this particular potential rewrite of the core story different than, say, Civil War, which is coming from Marvel, because it's clear that Civil War the movie is taking many different turns because of lots of legal reasons and actual reasons, sure, whatever the reasons, but they're doing a very different story than they did in the comics. And I've always been okay with this. They're presenting it as a different universe. It's the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I'm fine with DC doing the same thing. They can rewrite stuff and say Lex Luthor built something that he didn't. You can say Tony Stark made Ultron. Although if Tony Stark made Voltron, that'd be awesome.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, now we're in. But you know, like, I'm okay with that retrofitting stuff. It's not really a problem. They didn't have Hank Pym involved in that, and they should, you know, in the comics they did and all that. So,
but there's, you know, I mean, if they wanted another villain, they could have joined forces against. They've barely tapped into Superman's rogues gallery, because it seems like, oh, every time we have a Superman, Lex Luthor has to be the villain. We can't, you know, what about Brainiac or, I'm trying to think of some of these other really good Superman villains.
Yeah.
I mean, they could do something really twisted with a Mixel Plekit Plixel. I can't say that character's name.
Mr. Mixel Plix.
I can't even say it forward.
Pixel Dix. What is it?
Yeah, whatever it is. Mixel Pixel Dick. Mr. Pixel Dick. New Adobe software.
Yeah, just released this week, part of your Creative Cloud subscription.
It's Mr. Pixel Dick.
Mr. Pixel Dick.
Yeah, Bizarro, another good. Yeah, David Sebring's up Bizarro. Like, any of those villains for Superman would be good, but it seems like all they ever want to do is just trot out a new Lex Luthor. Yeah. And while I welcome seeing Doomsday, I think that they could have, you know, again, unless the Doomsday is the whole story.
Yeah.
I think that
Doomsday feels like a guy you'd want to pull out three or four movies in.
Right. Yeah.
You know, because that's like your ultimate, like, this is our big apocalyptic thing.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. And it's going to be Superman and you know, Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne meet. And then they have a little thing there. And then they fight as Superman and Batman for 2/3 of the movie. And then, oh, yeah, right here at the end, we're going to trot out this villain that really should get more attention than...
I kind of agree.
I mean, I'm basing it all on the trailer, which is a bad thing to do. Trailers can be very misleading.
That's true. And you and I, look, I mean, obviously we're going to go. We're going to enjoy the hell out of whatever we can enjoy. And we're not going to, you know, we're not going to boycott this thing. But there's a little concern. Mostly the Eisenberg thing for me. The other stuff I can, you know, I have to kind of wait and see. Maybe they could pull out Metallo. Do you remember Metallo? He was cool. He was made of Krypton or something.
Or bring in Shaquille O'Neal. Was it Shaquille O'Neal who played Steel?
Oh, yeah, he did.
Little team up action.
That'd be great. Bring him back. Oh, there he is, Mr. Mixoplex. There he is. Fifth Dimension guy.
Yeah.
Zod, we know about him. Doomsday, fine. Darkseid, we talked about him. Bizarro, that's cool. We talked about that.
I think I was pronouncing it Darkseid. That's what I meant, Darkseid.
Yeah. Darkseid, Lex Luthor, of course. And that's all I can find.
Right. Bizarro would be great. I mean, it is comedy. You know, the whole, me am happy.
I am opposite of Superman in all ways.
Right, exactly.
Including backwards S on shirt.
Me try to kill Lois Lane all the time.
How about Solomon Grundy? He'd be all right.
Sure.
How about, like, Mantis, just look at...
Black Mantis?
Black Manta. Or Manta. Is it Manta?
Whichever guy had his, like... Had everybody living in his head in a swamp in the meanwhile in a swamp that looks like in a little floating thing that looks like Black Manta's head.
Yeah, how does he rate, man? How come Chitara or whatever her name is didn't get one? Where she's always going, perfect, Lex Luthor. We will get Superman. Anyway, there it is, Batman v Superman. If you haven't seen it, watch it and let us know what you, dear listener, think. All right. I guess we'll call Daryl. I don't know.
I don't know. Sure.
How's the cat doing? Sleeping over there?
Totally sleeping over here.
Oh, yep. That's adorbs. That's what the kids say now, you know.
And I love how she does the little paw over the face kind of thing, like, oh, too many lights in here.
Don't look at me. I'm hideous. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by...
Brought to you by Coverville, where on last night's episode, we covered Frank Sinatra in honor of his upcoming, what would have been his upcoming 100th birthday. Lots of old crooner music. It could have been called Croonerville, really, for that matter.
Nice.
But what I am going to, promote something else that's even cooler.
Hell yeah.
At the end of every year, we always do the Coverville countdown, right? Mm-hmm. The big thing, right? Yeah. We count down the best covers of the year.
Yeah.
Well, now, well, almost now, I'm working with Todd, the great and wise Todd. On setting up Coverville Radio, which is radio.coverville.com, so you can listen to all 485 covers that I'm going to be pulling from to put together the best of list. And we're going to figure out a way to allow people to vote.
Oh wow!
So this is really cool. I've never been able to do this before. We've got a folder set up. I've already got the music in there. Just have to switch over the thing, and you'll be able to tune in to radio.coverville.com and listen. To randomly pick music from that library, and that's all you will hear for the entire month of December is stuff from 2015.
That's actually kind of amazing. That's very cool. Also, you informed me that is that Daryl?
Daryl's doing some little quick shaving.
Daryl's doing a little quick. He had a little stubble he forgot about.
That's right. Yep.
Daryl, how's it going?
Allow this device to access photos and videos. Don't allow.
Oh,
there. Well, that was a system thing, not a text or anything.
Oh.
So did you make an Apple Genius appointment? Or what can I do for you? What can I do for you today? What are you looking for today?
Looking for a new iPad?
That's what Mr. Pixel Dicks, the little icon in the corner.
Mixel Pixel Dicks.
I love Apple employees. I'm a big
fan. Oh, they're the best. Yeah, no, they're great. They're hipsters. They got weird beards and long hair. They're not, they don't care. No, we had one, we had a blind guy at our local Apple store that was awesome. The guy knew where everything was, what to do. He was more on the ball than every Best Buy employee I ever talked to combined.
Yeah, well, that's not saying much.
It really isn't.
You walk into a Best Buy and it's like they're all hiding in the back.
You know where I get more information?
Oh my God, a customer.
Oh no. Do you want a Geek Squad thing? No. I think my dog's more helpful yelling rope at me than those guys ever were when I went in there.
Rope.
Daryl, what's your take on the rope dog? Do you think that's a thing a dog could say?
I think the pee was a freak accident.
Yeah. You think it was a freak accident. Accident how, though? Like, how do you accidentally pronounce it so... It was clear as a bell. It was like,
well,
rope! Like that.
I don't know. It's like a stutter, I guess. Okay. Like a lip stutter, I guess.
All right. She is getting into that. She's in a phase now in her later puppyhood where when she's frustrated because she smells curry and can't eat it or something like that.
Too bad she can't say curry.
Yeah, I know. Oh, that'd be great.
Somebody just gave us a video. I put it in Skype of Rainer and what she's doing in the backyard right now.
Oh, okay. Let's take a look. Here we go.
I thought that moon thing was supposed to stop this buzzing.
It is supposed to.
It will if you've got your phone unlocked right now, and so
yeah, if it was locked, it wouldn't bug you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
You can lock it.
You can still talk to us.
Yeah, you can hit the little side button and
yeah, it won't hang up
or
on
top
us.
Button depending on how old your phone
now
is.
Well, let's try.
Let's see what happens.
It's locked.
All right.
Ooh, it's working.
Yeah. Well, so far, so amazing acrobatic rope balancing dog.
Apparently Rainer wants you to set this up in the backyard.
Oh, look at this! This is a real dog. Is this for real? Oh my gosh!
Doesn't actually get up on the rope until like.
Is it way in?
There we go. About 41 seconds in.
Oh, my Lord. That is something else, dude.
I think that's what Rainer wants you to set up.
Wow.
It's a video. For those of you listening to the podcast, there's a video of a dog balancing on a... Oh, holy cow. The dog just got up on two legs on the rope.
Yeah, he's standing on two legs on this rope for as long as it needs to. And now the person says they're giving them a hug.
Wow.
And it's 52. Oddly quiet. I feel like there's a serial killer in this. I don't like it. It's freaking me out a little bit. All right. Wow. Anyway, well, the That's rope impressive. Thing. Listen, there's got to be some like vets or dog experts or some kind of dog spurt out there who can like email in and say, hey, we think
Ice Worm's going to get that.
Yeah, Caesar dog
Milan
spurt.
Is, you know, well, the dog will say rope when it wants a treat.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I miss that guy. Is he
wants
still
bad doing? Dates. He's.
Indie bad dates. All right, Daryl, let's get to it. You're the Trek nerd. You come on the show, you answer all your trivia questions about Star Trek, and we have one for you, it turns out. Totally have one for you. You didn't come here in vain. It's a Next Generation episode. Are you ready for this thing?
Oh, I suppose. I'm not ready for anything, but okay.
All right, here goes. In the Next Generation episode, Starship Mine, Commander Hutchinson is entertaining the Enterprise crew while the ship is undergoing maintenance. He tells Riker how the crew of another ship, or as he wrote it, another trit ship, put on a talent show in the bases that they are at. What Starship crew does Hutchinson tell Riker performed this talent show? That is a really, really bad structure.
I don't understand.
Please diagram that sentence.
That's bad.
I don't understand.
My high school English teacher, who passed away a few years ago, just rolled in their grave. I can hear it from here. Anyway, it says this. Here's your options. The USS Crockett, the USS Goddard, the USS Magellan, or the USS Cortez. So it's the Crockett. I wonder if that one didn't wear socks with its shoes and had a weird t-shirt under its suit coat. Anyway, the Crockett, the Goddard, the Magellan, or the Cortez. All right? Those are your options.
We're in boat shoes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us a little today in Star Trek history?
Well, funny you should ask that. I was just trying to get this done at the last second, so I'll just pick whatever's on the screen.
All right.
And that is this. In 1991, Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, premiered in Hollywood.
Oh. Mm. I saw that with my wife on a date before we were married, obviously. Or maybe it's not obvious, but it was. And we ended up... That's when I knew that Kim was... totally cool with my love of nerd things. It's hard to kind of explain, but when we went to the movie, I was worried. I thought she's not gonna be into this. I didn't know because we were dating then, right. And we got and we saw it, and she's like, "That was awesome," and I'm like, "Oh, phew, I'm good." Please marry me.
This is the right woman for me.
Yeah,
right.
Marry me, please. Last night you would have laughed. I was playing the trailer for the Superman versus Batman deal. Mm-hmm. On my iPad, and I had it cranked up loud in the room, mm-hmm. and she's sitting in there reading a book or something, and she goes, "What are you doing?" I says, "I'm playing a trailer," and she goes, "Okay," And then I start playing. I look over at her. She's got her fingers in her ears as she's looking at her Pinterest thing. She's looking at her iPad. So she's just like got her fingers in her ears the whole time. She will not watch these trailers.
Wow. She just does not want anything spoiled.
She wants it all fresh, man. That's awesome. I've sat next to her in movie theaters when like Avengers trailers or something come on, and she'll put her head down, plug her ears, wow, and ignore it. Yeah.
Oh, good for her, man. Sticking to her guns like that.
Yeah. If it's a, like a kid show or if it's like a romantic comedy or something like that, no problem. But for all like the hardcore genre nerd stuff, mm-hmm, she just refuses. Like, she has seen zero Star Wars imagery. Like, none of it.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Good for her.
I don't know how she's done it. By the way. Because I've seen it all.
Speaking of watching that on your iPad, yeah, the speakers on the iPad Pro are just phenomenal.
And they're quadraphonic. If you find a video that supports it, it's mm-hmm, you get surround out of
it's
that
amazing
thing.
Yeah.
It's weird. This is the feature I was least expectant about.
Mm-hmm.
Blew my mind.
And I was watching High Castle on that without headphones the other day, and mm-hmm, it's like, wow, this sounds so amazing.
I know, dude. So good.
Yeah.
You can hear you can hear the chief inspector, what's his Japanese name? I forget his name. That guy's great, isn't he? The steely-eyed, like, enforcer guy.
He is good, yeah. So far, I've just seen him in the torture chamber with not Joe.
The other guy.
Frank.
Frank. You're going to love that guy. You're going to love him.
Cool.
You're going to love the way you look. All right.
No, but I'm loving the bounty hunter that comes to Canyon City. Holy cow.
The Marshal, dude.
Marshal,
I hope we haven't seen the end of the Marshal.
Oh, my God.
Because he's great. Oh, I guess I may have given away that he's not dead or anything.
That's all right.
Anyway, he's great.
That doesn't give anything away.
The Marshal's amazing. He is really one of the best short-term villains in the history of television.
Yeah. Yes.
And that actor, he does other stuff. What's his deal?
He's never going to play in a rom-com. I don't know what else he's done, but he is amazing in this.
Oh, I know who it is. Nope, I don't. It left. It came in and it left. I had it in my head and then it went away. Hmm. Daryl, don't go away because it's your turn. You've told us about that. What are you doing now? You got to get back to your question. So the question's a little janky, but it's this episode, Starship Mine, and they're talking about how there was a talent show on this base, and one of the crews of one of these ships did it. So there was like a crew who went, all right, you guys, we're doing a talent show, and it was either from the Crockett, the Goddard, the Magellan, or the Cortez.
Wow, this is obscure and weird. Crockett. That's the guy with the hat, the raccoon, the dead raccoon on his head.
Yeah.
Goddard is the rocket scientist guy.
Okay.
Magellan...
I don't think, for the record, I don't think Davy Crockett wore a dead raccoon. I think it was just the skin made into a hat, just for those out there wondering.
Well, okay.
As the legend goes, he did not wear an actual carcass of a dead raccoon.
The carcass of a raccoon on his head.
I'm not, my history's a little rusty, but...
Don't walk downwind from him.
Oh my gosh. There needs to be a new version of that. Someone needs to animate it. That would be really funny. Just flies flying around it. Oh, don't walk downwind from him. Anyway, go ahead. That was really funny.
Let's see.
You're at Magellan.
Magellan. Who is that? What did he do? I should know this stuff.
Astronomical dude, right?
Discoverer. Like it was.
An explorer in the ocean.
Right. Who am I thinking of? Who was the Who's the
Galileo?
Guy? Oh, yeah, Galileo is who I'm thinking of.
Galileo?
Galileo. something Figaro.
Cortez, Crockett.
Okay. What do you think about Cortez?
Cortez. That's, all these stupid ponderings have nothing to do with determining the right answer.
I know, but I like them.
He was the explorer, Mexican guy.
Yes, Mexico.
I don't know.
He was from Mexico, everyone. I think it came the other direction, though.
No, yeah, he came the other direction.
I think
from Spain.
I think Mexico became a Spanish-speaking nation because of Cortez's good work, or bad work.
Send your emails to me.
That's right.
So anyway.
And then Trump hated him.
Yeah. Trump wanted to build a wall to keep Cortez out. Exactly right.
I don't even have the slightest clue. Crockett, Goddard. Crockett, though, that's just... Oh, now my phone's freaking out. I'm going to unplug it. There we go.
All right.
Cortez, Magellan, Goddard. Now what? Starship Mine did what? Somebody what?
They did. One of these ships had a crew that did a talent show.
Oh, geez. That's dumb.
I agree.
Is it a... It wasn't a kid's talent show.
I don't think so. But I agree with you. It is very dumb.
Yeah.
Talent show.
I mean, it's...
A ship? The whole ship? The entire whole ship. Crew?
Yeah, yes. The whole crew. Yeah. Everyone. Captain on down to the lowest yeoman. Is that the lowest? Probably
Ensign ended. McKinley is a fire dancer.
He's doing a great job.
Well, I think Goddard and Magellan are too dignified for something like a talent show, so forget those.
I picture them all doing like Lord of the Dance on the holodeck or something.
Yes, exactly. Like somebody playing piano awkwardly from the side as they...
Yep. And the next scene, and they have like, you know, like stage crew, all that stuff. That's great.
430 entrants, though. That would be nuts.
Well,
maybe these are smaller ships.
Well, that's the point, is we don't know.
Officer so Farnsworth can play the flute.
Well, also, don't assume that it's the entire ship. When they say crew, it means like, well, they took 12 of the crew.
Could just be the bridge crew.
Sure, right.
Yeah, or the mime troupe or whatever.
Yeah, the engineering could be a bunch of mimes. What's wrong with the turbo bursters? I can't tell. You're just making faces and rubbing the air with your hands. Oh, the mimes should not be working in engineering.
Let's test the ship's phasers and sing Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Let's test the ship's phasers.
Phasers. Phasers.
Remember that one guy that was turning the crank in the background?
He is the best. He is the best background Star Trek character in the history of that show.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I love him. If you don't know what we're talking about, find it. Everyone, because it is so funny.
I'm gonna say Crockett, because Cortez, if it was that, then there'd be hate mail. And the other two are too... Those are too regal sounding to be doing a talent show. So I'll say Crockett based on this idiotic logic.
It's terrible logic, but I'll go with it. I think we're gonna see if you're right or wrong. Let's find out, is he?
Yeah.
It's the USS Magellan.
Oh, geez.
He tells Riker the USS Magellan crew put on a talent show during a visit. Riker doesn't want to talk to Hutchinson and passes him off to Data. Here's a clip of that happening. Passing the buck.
The crew of the Magellan actually put on a talent show here. Captain Conklin did a poetry reading, if you can imagine that.
Trying to.
Did I ever tell you how I happened to be stationed here? It's a fascinating story. I was serving on Admiral Mitchell's staff on Starbase 97. Awful place, by the way.
You met our commander, Data.
Oh, man. Even in the future, 23rd century, we still get annoying people at parties we have to pass off.
Right.
That's good to know. Daryl, that's a good job. You blew a otherwise perfect week. Actually, no, you had it's a failure sandwich. You had two pieces of bread on both sides where you got it wrong, right. And then the middle bit, that was a good middle bit.
Mm-hmm.
Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can find him there. You can find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. And now, he'll play a game with us, and we don't know what it is. So what is it?
Gene Roddenberry or Gene Siskel?
Okay.
Okay.
Here's your... Oh, do I have a Gene? Yeah, here you go.
Hello, and welcome to Universal Studios' Star Trek Adventure, courtesy of Paramount Pictures. I'm Gene Roddenberry, and some of you may know me as the creator of Star Trek.
All right.
Now, will someone please clean all the spittle off of the camera lens?
He's S'ing right through that thing.
He really is.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, sorry. What were you doing?
Okay.
Oh, yeah, answer. Ask us.
Here's the quote.
Gene Roddenberry or Gene Siskel, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The result is a picture that responds so much of what I want and rarely get from a movie. A couple of hours filled with characters who are as exciting as the people I know in real life.
All right. Well, this one's a tricky one because it sounds very obvious that a movie critic would say that.
Right. But it could easily be him talking about one of the earlier movies.
Yeah.
Because when did he, which movie did he, was the last one that he would have been involved with?
Probably.
Three?
Yeah, probably. Well.
Did he die before Star Trek 4?
No.
I think he was around for 4.
He had to be around for 4 because that was like 84, 85, and he was there for TNG start in 87.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I think the last movie he would have been involved with was maybe, but it may have been 3 was the final one, 4, because 5 or 6 maybe mm-hmm. were like 92, 93 or whatever.
Right.
And that's about when he died, didn't he? Something like that.
I know that he watched one of the movies, and then right after he watched it, he died, and then it was released.
Oh, mm-hmm. It was that bad?
I think it might have been five.
Five killed Gene Roddenberry. Think of that.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
I actually probably would lean more towards Gene Roddenberry, because he's talking about the people he knows in real life. So he's talking about, you know, knowing Shatner and Nimoy and.
I think that's I like that theory. Because it sounds a more personal response than
right.
And what else? You know, why would Gene Siskel? Well, maybe he would, but I like your thinking. Let's say it's Gene Roddenberry.
Okay.
I like your logic too, and it's just as flawed as mine because you're also wrong.
Damn it! What was the movie he was talking about, Siskel?
Oh, I don't know. Probably generally all movies.
Oh man, no, he hated a lot of stuff. He didn't like. He was, sometimes I think he was just being contrary with Ebert, but
right.
If you
I always agreed with him.
Who, Siskel?
Mm-hmm.
I'm shocked by this. I cannot believe that you and Siskel are very similar in a lot of ways. Listen, here's the deal. If you haven't seen that documentary about Roger Ebert, what's it called? It's on Netflix. It was up for some awards. It's the one his wife finished out and he started. He died in the middle of it.
Yeah. No, I remember the documentary. I can't remember what it was called.
I can't remember the name. It's really, really good. And you learn a lot about his relationship with Siskel and how rocky that got. It was rough. They have some background or some footage of them between takes of like promos for that show, just reaming each other up and down the wall. Like, just it's
you'd
brutal.
Never expect that. I mean, it seems like they were always had like a little playful battle, right? Yeah. Like their relationship was.
Mm-hmm. And at the end, I think there was a lot of respect. But yeah. I think during it was it's like Brian and I. You guys don't know about our secret fights we have all the time. Off
yeah, you should see our Twitter or our texting.
Yeah, on our private messages on Twitter. Right. Don't get me started.
Stream of expletives that comes out of you sometimes.
Oh, I'm hanging goodness. Up on you now, Daryl. Sorry, if you were there the whole time listening to that. I'm usually supposed to hang up on him soon.
Jeez, Daryl.
Jeez.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Let's get to the news brought to you by.
Scott, tell us how the 3D printing is going.
Well, this 3D printer I got from XYZ Printing, it's 3D printers, also known as the DaVinci 2.0A, is doing really interesting things, and my kids are kind of in heaven. That is one thing I want to say about this device that I'm most stoked about, is that it is a it is something your kids, regardless of their sort of technical know-how, just given the fact that they have a computer and this thing hooked up to it, can do all kinds of rad things.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick's going a step further by modeling some of his own stuff and seeing if he can print those things. But just the sheer amount of crap on Thingiverse and everything else, just it's
there's
insane.
So much stuff. Like, yeah, even if they don't have the time or know how to build it, just the fact that they can say, oh, I can download a Pip-Boy, great. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
just
download
make the freaking thing.
Yeah. Have him check out 123 Design.
Oh, yeah, you got that. He's,
oh, he did. Okay,
cool. Yeah, he's playing with it now. So,
yeah, that's that one. I feel like is the most intuitive interface for.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of a standard now. Like a lot of everybody talks about this with 3D printing, mm-hmm. so it seems like that's the way to go. Mm-hmm. It's just awesome. I really like it. If you want to learn more about these and the other stuff they've got, very reasonably priced as well. Go to tiny.cc/Newegg Print. Newegg is the big partner on that, and we love Newegg. All right, let's talk, I don't know, what news? We got news here.
Let's talk about the news.
Drake's in the news.
Okay.
You know him from such hits as Hotline Bling.
I say, calling on your cell phone.
He is a, I don't know why there was a chick in there. I apologize.
There was a chick in the bucket. Chick in the Drake song.
He is pushing Justin Bieber to stop playing games and commit to Selena Gomez. I hate this. Drake must be
stay
a big
out of it, Drake.
It says here he must be a big a big fan of the Backstreet Boys. Well, they're both Canadian, Brian. They got to look out for each other, right?
Oh, okay, good. Yes.
That must be it. That has to be it.
He also wants John Ford to stop drinking and being such a mess.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Tom Ford.
Tom Ford. John Tom Ford? Ford? Bill Ford. Bob Ford.
Whatever that guy.
Jim. John Ford. Jim Ford?
I thought John Ford, but maybe not.
Maybe
but
right.
Now that I say it, that's the director that did all the Westerns was John Ford.
Henry Ford.
definitely wasn't him. Never mind. Let's move on.
All right. Ford trucks. They're built Ram Tough. Wait. Anyway, Justin Bieber, he wants him to quit playing with Selena Gomez like the Backstreet Boys song says, stop playing games with her heart. Oh, HollywoodLife.com has exclusively learned, they put exclusively in caps, in fact, that he wants him to man up and finally commit to her. Find out all the details in this article. It says, we're not alone. Drake is also a huge fan of Jelena. Who's that?
I don't know.
And the rapper...
Oh, because Jelena is their hybrid name, like the... Justin and Selena. Jelena.
Jelena? I'm done reading this article. I'm done. F that. I'm not talking about this one more second. That sucks. I hate that so much.
We should combine their last names and made him Gomer.
Yeah, Gomer, dude. Go Beeb. Or go, no, yeah, like Bieber. But yeah, Gomer.
Right, Gomer.
Gomer. Oh, gosh. Gosh. That's terrible. I hate that whole like J-Lo. Oh,
yeah.
What's the Brangelina?
Right. Benifer.
What am I? Skim?
You're Skim.
Skim. Or you'd
be Brina.
Yeah, you'd be Brina. Brina or Tryon.
Tryon.
How nice. About, let's think of another one here. Let's say we got Tom and Eileen would be Tyleen or Ilam. Ilam.
Ilam.
I am from the planet fourth from your
Veronica
sun.
And Ryan would be Varian.
Varian.
I mean, I used to already do Blockmont, right? Or
Blockmont. Or Ryan. Oh, yeah, you're right. The last name's Blockmont.
Right.
But Ryan, Verona, Varian. Varian's pretty good because then you can say, Varian. Can you hear me now? I should be in the bathroom. Can you hear me now? Anyway, I'm not reading that. It sucks. Screw those guys.
Steve. Nicole and Mark. Marcole.
Marcole. That's not bad.
That's not bad.
Or Nimark. That sounds like a currency somewhere in some country.
Right.
How many Nimarks is that?
Nickark.
Well, Mr. Bond. Steve Ballmer.
Yes.
The Balmster. Thinks that Windows phones should run Android apps. Why does he even care? What's he doing? He's just running a base basketball team now. He's not doing anything.
Right.
Anyway, he thinks they should run... Here in tech news, he thinks they should run Android apps. Last month, Verge...
I've got my really cool Windows mobile device, but it doesn't run any good apps. I want some Android apps on this thing.
Yeah! Developers! Yeah!
I'm all sweaty. Yeah!
Dude, we're going to play a clip from that. And why I've never captured that out, I don't know. But
Steve
kidding. Ballmer... Going crazy.
Is developers!
Here it is. Crazy on stage. The best of Ballmer. Here we go. I don't need to see an intro thing. Just... There it is.
Come on! Get out! Get out! Come on!
Oh, my Lord.
Come on!
Do you think he picked
I can't believe we've actually captured... audio from the very first Nerdtacular where you know, we had it at Snowbird when you got up to greet everybody.
Well, you know, 2013 rather, was not that long ago.
That's right.
Give it up for me.
Give it up for me, he says. I'm gonna go cap that out later. He yelled, give it up for me.
Give it up for me. He says that to his wife, too.
Give it up for me! No, you're still too sweaty and gross. anyway, what was the point? Oh, last month, Verge reported that Project Astoria, this is Microsoft's plan to bring Android apps to its Windows 10 mobile platform, has been put on hold, but it seems more notable, or one notable figure from the company's recent history would disagree. That would be Steve Ballmer, Microsoft's former CEO and his biggest individual shareholder, still owns a ton of stock. Wasn't happy with the current chief Satya Nadella's answer to a question about the lack of Windows Phone apps on the company's annual shareholder meeting. The audience member was asked Nadella about the Microsoft plan to do about its lackluster support of important mobile apps like Starbucks, according to Bloomberg. Starbucks, is that the important mobile app?
That's apparently the important mobile app. Heck with you know, like Outlook
or anything else that matters.
Right. I want Starbucks and I want Flappy Bird.
Give it up for me.
Give me those two things and I'll be happy.
Give it up for me.
Nutella cited company's effort to get developers to create universal apps across PC, mobile, and Xbox, but Ballmer said that won't work. Instead, Windows phones need to be able to run Android apps. We reportedly said under the Microsoft's current plans, there's still to be a route for developers to port iOS apps to Windows. Yeah, fine. Mm-hmm. I guess that makes sense. Whatever. Microsoft's current mode of transportation seems to be they want to be everywhere, and I think that's a good thing for them. So I actually think Ballmer's right in this case.
What I mean, I know, you know, Apple and Android are the two big, obviously the big chunks of the mobile platform pie. Where does Windows Mobile fit in that? Like, are they like a 10% share or any idea? Like, where
they're they're at a distant third. I do think they're now ahead of where BlackBerry was, which is, says really sad things about BlackBerry. But I think the Windows Mobile thing is a very distant third. However, that's probably because the previous versions weren't necessarily, I mean, they weren't running like straight up Windows 10. They're talking about the new stuff running Windows 10. Like
actual Windows 10, kind of like the Surface does.
Yeah, and if that's the case, that's a lot more interesting to a lot more people. So I don't know. I don't know why they're such a distant third. I mean, part of it's Ballmer's fault. Let's just throw it out there. Back in 2007, when the iPhone was announced, Ballmer says, nobody's going to want that thing. It's stupid. Right. Here, look at this thing over here. And you know, Windows phone garbage crap they had back then. It's like, here's the phone you want. This other thing. This is never going to take off. Well, oops, is what I would say to that. I mean, they missed the boat on mobile.
They did, yeah, for sure.
And so now they're doing smart things though now. So
well, get him that Starbucks app, make him happy.
You got to give
by
it
the way,
up. Yeah.
By the way, you know, it's as funny as it sounds, the Taco Bell app.
Yeah,
it's really really good.
I hear it's good. I've heard that. What do you tell me? What you do? What does it actually do for you?
It lets you place your order before you go to Taco Bell. So basically you pull up in the drive-through, say, yeah, I've got order for Brian. And they're like, oh yeah, we'll have that waiting for you at the front. And you can pay with, pay prepay. So all you basically do is pull up, pick up your food and go. But that's not the beauty of the app, or that's not the thing that I love about the app. The Taco Bell app has coupons that you can't get online or get anywhere else, including one currently, like for the next couple of weeks where, if you, let's say you're buying tacos for the office, if you spend $20, it's or more, 50% off your order, straight 50% off your order.
Really?
So you're in $20 of Taco Bell for $10.
That's amazing.
That's like, yeah, I'm gonna pick up Taco Bell for the office here, and it's awesome.
Wow, that's actually pretty cool.
It is kind of cool.
And I like their food.
You know what? I worked there for a full year, almost to the day, and I still eat there.
I made the point yesterday on DTNS. Pre-show that Taco Bell is to Chipotle what Red Vines are to Twizzlers.
Twizzlers.
Yeah. Does that make sense to you? It does to me. It's like they're not bad. It's not really good Mexican food, but it fills you up and tastes good. But it's not, you know, it's not fresh Mex, if you know what I'm saying. I don't know. It was maybe a bad analogy.
I think I know what you're saying. I put Red Vines and Twizzlers a lot closer together than I would put Chipotle.
Now this is an interesting conversation then. Let's talk about that for a second. So Red Vines, my problem with Red Vines is I like them. Okay, I'll eat them.
They taste a little more plasticky.
Yeah, like I'm eating wax or they feel like they fall apart. They're not good straws for your Coke like when you were a kid. But Twizzlers do pretty well that way. You bite the two ends off and you got a pretty good straw there. And I feel like Twizzlers has done more with like flavors. You can get Dr. Pepper flavored and cherry flavored and all these grape flavors and stuff. Whereas Red Vines are just straight up, here's a bucket ass Red Vines. And I, for whatever reason, also the Red Vines would make my kids poo red when they were little in their diapers. And then but the others wouldn't. The Twizzlers would not do that. So anyway.
It's not as good as the black burger.
Nope.
The black burger giving you the green poop.
Yep.
I'd much rather have that than red poop.
That's true. Because red poop's like, there's blood in my stool.
Exactly. That's a red flag. So to speak.
If you get green, you just go, my pancreas has folded into itself and died. Let's see. What else? Finally in the news here, Pennsylvania officials are stumped why the town smells like cat pee. They got a town there where everything smells like cat pee. And
nice.
I would argue maybe it's because of all the cat pee. That's my thinking. It's really weird.
All the town's cats are really just going into one corner of Pennsylvania.
Exactly. It says here, Newcastle News reports State Department Environmental Protection reports are inconclusive. The department says it's likely some kind of waste containing how'd you say that?
I'm still looking for that in the thing. Where is it?
Third paragraph.
Oh, I didn't go far enough down. There it is.
Containing mesostyl?
Mesotyl oxide.
Shit. You did better than me on that. And some kind of sulfur compound create the smell. The error samples and tests of the substance in the city sewage treatment plant didn't turn up any source of the substance. It's used for paint removers, normally the stuff they're talking about. Anyway, the city first contacted Pennsylvania environmental officials on October 2014. Newcastle is about 45 minutes northwest of Pittsburgh.
That is the accidental trip up of the day right there.
Holy shite. Well. And then finally, a thing I was not going to bring up, but I'm going to now, because we didn't bring it up yesterday with Nicole, because I didn't want to rub it in or act like I'm Mr. Hotshot or anything like that, because it's still a long ways off and it's still an unknown. But the National Board of Review, and I thank you everybody who have been pounding this down my Twitter throat all week long, and I haven't been responding because I'm trying not to be a jerk about it, okay? But the National Board of Review named Mad Max Fury Road best film of the year. Now, that doesn't necessarily translate to that will for sure be nominated, let alone win anything in the Oscars. However, there is some history to show that nominations or films that win in this category for this particular award often are nominated for Best Picture.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Of the last, I'm looking at the list right now, of the last 10 years.
Yeah.
With the exception of last year,
yeah,
the film that they always name as number one is always nominated.
Always nominated.
But last year was a most violent year, and that didn't even get a nomination.
Right.
Which, in fact, they only had four movies that they listed as their top 10 last year that only three of them actually did get nominated.
Yeah, it was a weird year for them, and it's unusual. And so I still think I'm going to go with the larger picture that they're pretty good at predicting these things because obviously I have a cock in this race. How's the phrase go?
Horse
in this race. I have skin in the game. That's what I meant.
That's the one you're looking for. You have a hat in the ring.
Why? I have a hat in the ring. How I got cock in the race, I don't know.
I don't know.
Skin, ring, I don't know. Anyway, whatever.
You have some fart in the gas.
I have some fart in the gas. I have some dog yelling rope. All right. The National Board of Review named Mad Max, although this article has the rap.com has a great typo that says the National Board of Review NAMFed Mad Max Fury Road the year's best film and picked Creed, The Hateful Eight, Cicero, and Straight Outta Compton for its top 10, showing a real fondness for muscular filmmaking is what they put here. Missing from the list were the more genteel things like Carol, Brooklyn, The Danish Girl, as well as Steve Jobs and David O. Russell's Joy. And in a snub that went against their liking for action, Allegro G. Inarritu's brutal survival story, The Revenant, which I'm actually...
Alejandro Inarritu.
Did I get that right?
The guy who did Birdman. Yeah
Birdman. Birdman. I'm very excited about The Revenant.
I am too. I'm surprised. Just looking at the previews, I'm surprised it wasn't nominated. And David O. Russell's Joy, I almost feel like is a lock just because of the pedigree.
Yeah, it's always his movies are always in there.
Right, American Hustle and Silver Linings Playbook, and
there was another one too. His old wine.
American
one.
Hustle.
No, he had that wine one with
Sideways.
Yeah, Giamatti and the other guy. Mm-hmm. There was one other one too. What's the other one? There's one more. Well, anyway,
I can't remember what it was.
David O. Russell. Still killing it. Anyway, all I'm saying is, one step closer. Tom yesterday said, I'm starting to come around on Scott's point of view on this. If this makes, keep making splashes where it's making splashes, we may see Fury Road in the... And I'm saying, I still just make this comment. It's not that I say it'll win, because I really don't think it will, but also that there are 10 open slots, and you will have a hard time coming up with 10 movies to fill those. Where Mad Max isn't one of them this year.
They don't have to fill 10, though. Last year, they only had 9 nominees.
But they could fill 10.
They could fill 10.
And I'm saying the Academy's sitting there going, you know what, guys, we've got 9. Why not just throw Fury Road in there? I'm telling you, they'll do it.
Oh, February can't come soon enough.
It really can't. And here's my commitment to you, America. I'm not going to bring it up again until then. I'm not going to say
really?
A word. Yep, not a word. It may win Golden Globes. It may win 10 other awards between now and then, and that's cool if it does, but I will not bring it up, and my silence will be deafening. Deafening silence. Coming from Scott Johnson.
Well, we need some sort of... there needs to be some sort of punishment if you bring up Mad Max and the Oscar nominations again.
I'm cool with that.
Because I'm not doubting that Mad Max will come up in some discussion, but...
I will listen. If it comes up, I will. I'm gonna make it so that I'm not gonna say a word. I really am not. And if I don't, let's see what people can hold me to. If I okay, here's a punishment that is severe on time, but a benefit maybe to somebody who cares. All right.
Okay.
I will commit to sitting down at my Wacom, piping that video through the internet on Twitch, and doing an hour of request doodles.
Oh wow!
For everybody in that room, and I will send them. They will all get them sent to them digitally as soon as they're done.
Holy mackerel!
For a whole hour, okay? I'll give of myself in a way that is I think meaningful. Hopefully, I'm not going to bring it up though. In fact, wow. Starting right now, here's the last.
That's a bummer. Now I think people want you to bring it up now.
Here's the last time before the Academy Awards nomination morning when they announce them. You know that 6 a.m. thing where they mess up names and stuff. I will not say the term Mad Max. I can say other names like, you know, right. Oh, Revenant was great, and I really like Tom Hardy in it. I can do that, but I will not say the words Mad Max or the words Fury Road between now on this show. Between now and those nomination morning, you will not hear me make a peep.
There we go. Looks like you only have to make it a little over a month and a half, or a little less than a month and a half. January 14th.
Oh, I've totally
nominations will be announced at 6:30 a.m. our time.
I can totally do this. So what is that, like 30 shows between now and there? More than that, 60 shows or something? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, not that. Like, it's probably about 40.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it'll be call now time. Hold on to this number, 801-895-4724. You at home, don't worry about it because you're not here live. But you live people, you can call in and be a part of the show and ask us questions. Don't be dumb. Do something interesting. You know, be normal. Whatever. Don't just call and, you know, flap on about some cool podcast you're making. We want to hear actual questions for Brian and I, all right? Brian,
yes.
Brian and I, not Brian and I. Butt nipple. Now let's take a break with music from you.
I'm so happy to get to play this. Genie wrote in. Said, hi, Brian. My birthday, December 6th, falls on a non-TMS day again. Boo! So please play this on Thursday the 3rd, Monday the 7th, whichever day you can fit it in. And please ask Scott to play the good TMS theme that day, the Skyhawk theme. Oops,
oh,
I didn't read that
I forgot.
In time.
Here, you know what? For her. There you go.
You got a T.
Yep.
P.S. I hate having brown eyes, but I love the cover of the song. So, the song she requested is a cover of Brown Eyed Girl, as we alluded to at the beginning. The cover she wants is by Real Big Fish, a favorite of mine, like their style with the horns, ska kind of feel to them. I really like Real Big Fish. And their cover of Take On Me is excellent as well, that they did for the movie Basketball. This one comes from their album Fame, Fortune, and Fornication, which came out in 2009. Bunch of great covers on there. It's a cover of the song, of course, originally done by Van Morrison. It's Real Big Fish and Brown Eyed Girl.
Days when the rains came down in the hollow, we were playing a new game, laughing and a running, hey hey, a skipping and a jumping in the misty morning fog with our hearts a thumping, and you, my brown-eyed girl, you, my brown-eyed girl. Now whatever happened to Tuesday and so slow, going down the old mine with the transistor radio, standing in the sunlight laughing, hiding behind a rainbow's wall, slipping and a sliding, yeah, all along the waterfall with you, my brown-eyed girl, you, my brown-eyed girl. Remember when we used to sing sha la 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 la, just like that, sha la 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 la, ta-da. Come on, sha la 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 la, ta-da. La-dee-da. All right.
you just the other day. My, how you have grown. Cast my memory back there, Lord. Sometimes I'm overcome thinking about making love in the green grass behind the stadium with you, my brown-eyed girl. It was you, my brown-eyed girl. Do you remember when we used to sing sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la, just like that?
To listen to heavy metal. I like to sit in my room and play air guitar.
I can do it. Yes, I can, because I am a Jewish American.
The Morning Stream. Don't worry about him. Worry about me.
Back. I got to read you something I just saw on the internet.
Sure.
Florida. Okay. There's apparently this for people who think that there's some sometimes very wasteful federal and state government. I would agree with you. For example, there is a sticker on vending machines in Florida, and on the it says usually on the back of the machine. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's the other dumb part. It's on the back where you can't get to it.
Okay.
Florida law, this is what it says in giant capital letters. Florida law requires this notice to be posted on all food and beverage vending machines. Then below that, report any machine without this notice to 1-800-352-9273. You may be eligible for a cash reward. Do not use this number to report problems with the vending machine, such as lost money or out-of-date products. Now, I would...
Really, it's a sticker that says... This sticker is required by law. Please let us know if you don't see the sticker.
By this number that you wouldn't see if there wasn't a sticker. Right. That is ridiculous, dude.
Yeah, that is a little weird. I think that I thought you were going to talk about the stickers that show the vending machine, you know, falling down on a person.
Well, not that. But here is what I am going to do. We're going to call that number.
Oh, really?
9273. Let's see what happens. Let's just see what happens. What's the worst that could happen?
That's true.
I mean, worst thing is someone answers. We say, oh, wrong number. Here we go. Is it calling?
I don't hear it.
It's supposed to be ringing. No, maybe this is terrible. It's just sitting there. It says it called it successfully, but there's no ring. Oh, weird. Well, we tried.
Aww.
Darn it. I really wanted to talk to whoever's in charge of making sure vending machines are keeping their labels on.
Yes.
What a load of turd that is.
Keep your labels on.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to play a little of this now.
Call now.
We haven't done that in a while.
No.
Wendy's not here. She got a thing came up. She had to cancel last minute. So Wendy's not here to give you good advice.
Save that question for next time.
Yeah. So call us and let us give you bad advice. That's right. It is a episode of Call Now.
Call Now.
And you can call us at 801-895-4724. That's 801-895-I-RAGE. 801-895-4724. And ask us questions. You can also Skype My Extra Life. You don't have to add me or anything. It should just ring. And you can call us that way if you like as well. So get on it. Get that to us. While we wait for our first call, I'm going to read you an email.
Okay.
This here is from Logan H.
All right, Logan H.
He says this. Hey, Scott and Brian, on Tuesday's TMS, 9:35, you guys discussed the racist tweet that Scott made regarding the Cleveland Browns football team. He put racist tweet in quotes because he knows also that it's not racist. You briefly brought up the important point as to who the real racist was. Scott, for making an easily misconstrued tweet, or the people who misinterpreted it. To offer my own perspective, I read your tweets when you made them and laughed at the joke, as intended, and never thought for a second about a possible racist connection. That could be my own naivete speaking, but I don't know. Either way, I would think that the Great Frog Pants community would know well enough to realize that it is probably the furthest, Scott is probably the furthest thing from racist or judgmental person that has ever been. Well, I don't know about that. Love the show and community, though, Logan H. Now, I'd like to respond to this by saying I do feel like if you know me, you'd know that tweet was not meant to be racist. However, I doubt that I'm the least racist, judgmental person the world has ever known. I don't know who that would be, but I thought it might be fun to try to decide who that might be.
To guess, right?
Yeah. So who do you think, because listen, I've had plenty of times
sure.
in my life where I am biased or whatever. Oh, man, this call, first call that just came in, I can't add to the Skype. Why?
Skype, oh, no.
Skype, you're so dumb. Sometimes that works. Sometimes it just says you can't. Maybe it's a private number or some reason. I don't know. Anyway, call back whoever that was. So, Brian, who would you say is the least racist person either you that you've ever known or that you've ever seen or heard of?
Well, I'd say Mother Teresa probably would be the least racist person.
Now, when I talked, it's funny you brought that up because I was talking to Terpster about that very thing off air the other day.
Really? This came up off air?
Yeah, it totally did. And I said, well, I know what it was. He was talking about how he's of the general belief that religion is trouble and that, that people do poor decisions when they're religiously motivated. And my point was, well, occasionally you get the real solid business like Mother Teresa. It's all about giving and donating your time and, you know, all that. And he seemed to think that there was a bunch of reports that she was a tyrant and horrible in real life.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's just, you know, the British reading tabloids or what's going on over there. But maybe somebody else can enlighten us about that. But it's funny that you mentioned her. I would have said the same name.
Sure.
Maybe Gandhi.
Sure. Gandhi, right.
Maybe...
Kim Kardashian.
Kim Kardashian is really, I mean, she's a pillar of all sorts of knowledge and important life decisions.
She's ruined the lives of white people and black people.
And Asian people.
And people of all color.
Yeah, and Hispanic all people. And Hispanic people too. Yeah. See, there's a thing you could take out of context because people haven't listened to the show for very long. Right? So I'm going to find that clip.
Yeah, okay.
For some reason, the phone number's not coming through, and I wonder if it's busted. Maybe it's not working.
Oh, no. Did you pay your Skype bill?
Yeah. Sorry, any tadpole Jews, says Major Dumperuno. Hold on, I'm trying to see. Did any of you say the number's not working? No. I don't know. We could call it ourselves and see what happens. That'd be weird, right?
Yeah, I could call it from my cell phone. Let me do that.
Yeah, call it from your cell phone. You used to. While he's doing that, I would say, boy, other than that, everyone's got their biases, right? I mean, we all do. Like, if I see a scary... Listen, I'm not going to lie. If I see somebody dressed like Ice-T back from his NWA days... Wait, he wasn't on NWA. What was he in? Yeah, that was NWA, right?
That was NWA.
Yeah. If I saw Ice Cube from that era in an alleyway and it was just me and him, guess what I would think? Scary black guy's going to beat me up. Oh, here it is. Let's add it to the call. Hi, who's this?
We'll see, well, that, see works. That works.
Oh, my Lord. It's scary.
Weird echo.
Okay. Let's do this one instead. Hi, who's this?
It's Peter calling from New Brunswick.
Peter from New Brunswick. That's in Canada, right across the street from Toronto, I think. You have holes in your money.
Same way as you're across the street from New York City.
You got your potato, your weird potatoes and gravy business going on up there. What else is happening in Canada? What's going on, man?
Supposed to get some snow today.
Oh, well, you're wearing a toque in your photo for your Skype photo, I've noticed here.
I'm
seeing the live photo. He's not wearing a toque in his live photo.
No, his live photo, he's wearing a pate. He's wearing a bald pate.
Yeah. Right.
I like it. Well, anyway, what brings you to our fine program this morning?
Well, I heard you're not getting much calls, so I just thought I'd call in and have a comment about the Batman versus Superman thing about Bob.
Please, tell us. I'd love to get... What do our neighbors from the north think of that trailer?
The backstory of not Apocalypse, because you messed me up on that one, Doomsday, was that he would be killed and then came back and killed and came back. What if that's part of the story that Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman defeat him, Lex gets a hold of him again, resuscitates him and sends him again, so he's like a,
so we could give him a
through line through all the movies, like each time it gets worse and worse and worse until like movie 8.
That's kind
of actually gets around to kill Superman.
That's actually kind of interesting. I don't know if can you do that and get away with that in a movie where, or can you get the executives of your at your film company to agree to let you have a plan like that? Like, that seems dangerous. It seems cool to me. Like, I'm into that. But I don't know how they... I don't know how you get that past the suits at Warner Brothers or whoever's doing this. I guess it is Warner Brothers. But possible. That's interesting. Also, I'm making a broad assumption here. There's a scene where Zod's body is shown as it's being unzipped from a body bag.
Right.
And so my assumption is, oh, Lex Luthor figured out a way to take Zod and whatever Kryptonian powers he had and, like, melt that into... You know, this primordial Doomsday thing. New,
right. Is that how Doomsday, what's Doomsday's actual origin? I know he comes back.
I don't think it's Zod, is it?
Some of them is that he was an experiment from a Kryptonian scientist.
Okay.
That raised him as a kid, threw him out to die, and then brought him back. And every time he dies, he becomes immune to what killed him.
Oh, like the Borg. They learn.
Sort of like the Borg, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then on other ones, it was like someone got a sample of Superman's blood.
Yeah.
And mixed it with something else. And like, well, sort of like Chief Wiggum from The Simpsons would irritate him. So he hates life.
Yeah.
And then as our secret weapon, if Superman goes bad, we'll have someone that's 100 times worse to go kill him.
Yeah.
And then, we're not sure what we'll do after that, but hey, whatever. Yeah.
There is also an explosion scene where it looks like it takes out a whole city. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell what that means. That could mean that, you know, we may get it like Groundhog Day style where Doomsday comes back from the dead all through the film. Like we end up with, you know, 10
he
of those
coming back.
Yeah, you got Picard going abandon ship and having it explode every time until Data figures out what to do, right? That's kind of the scenario here.
It has something to do with the deflector shields, though.
It could be, I know,
or deflector dish,
photon torpedoes. Also, I'd like to just make this one comment. Your audio quality is better than almost anyone who ever calls us ever.
No kidding.
So
yeah,
we could all learn a little something.
Good microphone
from Peter.
What kind of microphone is that?
Yeah,
it is a Marshall MXI USB.
It sounds nice. Good, man.
Wow, for a USB mic. Yeah, it sounds amazing.
Yeah, it sounds really good. So thanks for calling us. Anybody else want to call? Give us a call. We're here. It's 801-895-4724. I saw a bunch come through while we were talking to him. You can keep trying, everybody.
Yeah, call back if you don't get through.
If it gets, I wish I had a way, like a switchboard.
Like
where
a hold
on
button.
Hold.
Yeah. Oh, stay on. We'll get to you in just a moment.
Or even a screener. Like, I would love that.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody
right
out there finding out what they're going to say and filtering out all the idiots. Not that they're, you know, we don't have idiots here. But
right, no.
If you're calling via...
call us on your cell phone.
Zach, you just called, but it won't let me add you, so I don't know why, so I had to cancel yours. Oh, I have to do it again. I don't know why yours will not let me add you. Maybe I can add you... his name is Zarek. Let's see if I can add him to the call. No, won't let me. I don't understand why it won't let me add you. Add him to the call. It's like it doesn't want to let me. Anyway, keep them coming. That's it for that. What else? What else, Brian? What else is going on? Anything else? You want to talk about anything else? I didn't put more emails in here. Oh, I know. Here, look at this. Hold on to your butts.
All right.
I got a call to play. This is pretty good, too. Brian Challenge, it says.
Oh, good. Okay.
This might be an old call. I'm not sure. Here we go.
I got a request for Brian because I was just listening to an episode where you guys bonked the microphone. You were calling it the bonk of Tom or something, but... I got this. So this challenge is for Brian. Next time you hear that microphone bonk, I want Brian to start singing "I Can Feel It in the Air Tonight."
Oh, that thing, that guy.
Thunk. Yeah, that thunk.
Yeah, we remember that now. Mm-hmm. Although I don't know how to recreate it. Oh well.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh Lord.
Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Oh, hey, it's Zarek.
Oh, hey, Zarek. Oh, yeah, for some reason, your Skype version won't let me pick you up. I don't know why. It's weird. But I'm glad you called back.
Yeah, I didn't understand that.
That's all right.
Okay,
how's it going,
so
man?
I have one random, like, fun question followed by a recommendation.
All right.
Cool.
Okay, so for you and Brian, if you two were pro wrestlers, what would your name be and your gimmick?
Oh, man. Name and gimmick.
Like your finishing move kind of thing?
Sure.
Yeah.
Whatever your gimmick is, like the Undertaker's, like this sort of undead, like whatever. And,
right, you know. Right. That's true. Yeah, yeah.
So what would you do, Brian?
Oh, geez.
this is hard.
My name would be... yeah, I got nothing. Maybe we need to come up with them for each other.
I got one. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Brian would be... Brian, let's see. Let me think here. I would, okay, your name would be Bruiser Meat.
Okay.
And your gimmick would be, because this is why I'm thinking of this. Your gimmick would be you'd come out in like a butcher costume or outfit, like a, and I don't mean from Diablo. I mean like a straight up like big apron and be covered in blood and like animal blood. Mm-hmm. And you would have a cleaver in one hand and a big giant leg of lamb in the other. And you would have some sort of face mask on, just looking like some kind of psychotic butcher man.
Oh, not like a luchador mask, but like a like the Scarecrow in the first Christopher Nolan Batman.
Well said, kind of perfect. Like a bag of some kind with a couple of eye holes in it, and you would be you'd be called Butcher. What I call you, the Butcher Meat. Butcher Meat would be your name. Yeah, sure. Butcher Meat. Oh, we haven't seen Butcher Meat like this.
Bruiser
in months.
Meat. Bruiser Meat.
Bruiser Meat. Sorry, and you would come out and you would be this like butcher type guy with blood all over you.
All right, good.
Give me mine now.
All right, you'd be the mispronouncer. And it would be perfect, like when they're doing the interview things before the match. Oh, I'm going to take you down, Butcher Meat. What was it? Butcher Meat? I can't remember what his name is, but I'm going to take you down. And your finishing move would be the Leaf Crush.
Oh, I like that.
You,
I like that. That's pretty good. Would there be a B in it every time, though?
There'd be a B in it, yes.
Self-defeating finishing move.
you'd stop whatever you're doing and run around the ring.
Yeah, it's a bad idea. All right, well, there you go. There's our rest. Who would you be? What would you be? Zarek?
Okay, me?
Yeah.
Well, believe it or not, I'm going to start training for pro wrestling.
Oh, no way,
that's
dude.
That's actual thing.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, you should talk to fellow community member Joey Image. He probably has some tips.
Yeah, and I know he's not an actual wrestler, but isn't Jerry like into that whole scene?
Oh, he loves that whole scene, yeah. Yeah. He would be very encouraging of your life choice.
Yep, Jerry, I saw lots of people in the community.
I gotta wait till I'm 18, which is in February. Yeah. I'm gonna start invading Ohio.
Dude, that's great. Ohio seems like a good wrestler state to me. I don't know why. And I say that with zero knowledge of any of it, but just something about it sounds like, yeah, I'm from Dayton, Ohio. That's where I started. And now I'm, you know what, Brian, I'm changing your name. It's Beef Tip. Okay. Beef Tip.
Beef Tips.
Your Beef just Tips. Tip? Just Tip. Well, should it be Tip or just the Tip or more Tips?
Either way is fine. I'll you know, Beef Tip.
Look, I was just looking for an excuse to say just the Tip. well, while you're a minor, and then when you're 18, go for it, man. We'd love to see how you do out there.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I got 2 months away. I'm pretty close.
That sounds all right to me. You sound like a cool 17-year-old, and best of luck. We'll talk to you later. Zarek, that's a cool name, too. He could just be Zarek. Just be that. Zarek Envy.
There was a Zarek in something else, right? Zarek.
Zarek, Lord Zarek. Zarek, Zeratul. Zarek.
What is that?
Zarek.
Star Trek thing?
Star Trek. Zarek and Star Trek. Yeah. Hold on.
Battlestar Galactica was the new one. He was the president, right?
Zarek?
The guy, what's his face? Richard Hatch came back and played Zarek.
Richard Hatch.
Right.
You're totally right. How was it spelled,
Z-A-R-E-K?
Yep, Z-A-R-E-K. You're right. That's totally him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He was great. I liked him in that a lot.
Yeah.
And now he's at every con ever made.
That's right, yep.
That's going to do it for us. Thank you guys for participating and hanging out with us. Cool. We love it. Frogpants.com/TMS is the place, or the website to go to. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. You can send emails there or attachments or call us, 801-471-0462. Follow us on Twitter, Scott Johnson, Coverville, and Morning Stream. Real quick note, today, 12:30, right here, same channel, same time, or not same time, it'd be 12:30. PM Mountain Time, that, what is that, 2 hours from now? Wait.
Yes, 2 hours from now.
About 2 hours from now, we will have our PM edition of the show, TMS PM. Garrett will be joining us for his esports moment, minute, whatever it is we're going to call it. And Brian and I will be right back at it. So come on back, 12:30. And for those at home, you'll be getting that probably tonight. I think I'll bump that up too, so you get it sooner.
Oh, nice.
Than the next day. I think that's it otherwise. You got anything else? We good?
I think that's it. Okay. Yeah, I'm good.
All right, well, let's play whatever the hell song you brought, man.
All right. So Richard Carlson suggested this to celebrate the Finnish Day of Independence from Finland, not Finnish, like the ending day of independence. Mm-hmm. He requested Anything by the band Eläkelyset. Oh, it's a hard one to say.
Yeah, don't put me near that word. Yeah.
It's a Finnish humpa group that does covers of all manners of music in Finnish. These guys are great. So I have their entire album of covers called Wurbung Baby. And every title has the word hump somewhere in the title of the song.
Okay.
So the one we're about to play is Humpa Tarzan. But the best part is their cover of Van Halen's Jump is simply called Hump.
Great. Great.
You know, all of your Weird Al Yankovic polka music has prepared you for this moment. Here is Eläkelyset. I'm having Fat Johnsonism on this one. From their 2004 album, Wurbung Baby, with the cover of the Foo Fighters, Monkey Wrench.
Tilukset jäi Karjalaan. Hellu karkas mukaan vieraan ulkomaan. Kun tokin jo rempallaan. Pumppu jyskää kuin tykit aikoinaan. Vaan lepäen, lepäen, ma lepäen.
Loppuun asti pumpaten.
Humppa apinoiden.
Loppuun asti humpaten.
Jannelle tarjoan tuon banaanini nahkaisen. Nyt on kiirus juhlimaan. Säästä mielessä vain menolippu ostetaan. Kaloissaan jäivätten selaamaan kuvastoja hankkijan. Lepäen, lepäen, ma lepäen.
Loppuun asti humpaten.
Huudan kuin Tartsan kuningas humppa apinoiden.
Loppuun asti humpaten.
Jannelle tarjoan tuon banaanin nahkaisen. Tämän koukan mottana on kohtostava konneja. Torraa käydä roinaamaan, jos jostain vähän kolosta ei viireen ikään kaduttua. Jäänyt maahan makaava, vaikka lusikalla tai niin lapiolla otan. Lepäen, lepäen, lepäen.
Loppuun asti humpaten.
Huudan kuin Tartsan kuningas humppa apinoiden.
Loppuun asti humpaten.
Jannelle tarjoan tuon banaanin nahkaisen.
Hey, what the hell? Play. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
I don't think I feel well.
I don't think I feel well.